When it was evening, Jesus came with the 12. And when they had taken their places and were eating, Jesus said, "Truly, I tell you, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me." They began to be distressed and to say to him one after another, "Surely not I." He said to them, "It is one of the 12 who is dipping bread into the bowl with me. For the Son of Man goes as it is written of him. But woe to that one by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that one not to have been born." While they were eating, he took a loaf of bread, and after blessing it, he broke it, gave it to them, and said, "Take, this is my body." Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them, and all of them drank from it. He said to them, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. Truly, I tell you, I will never again drink of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. The Gospel of the Lord.
Grace and peace be yours from the God who made us, and from our Lord and from our Savior Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. Over the last few weeks, we've started a series on the sacraments. In the first couple of weeks, we focused on baptism and the gift that baptism is, the calling that baptism brings, and a reminder that as we are baptized, we are joined to Jesus, and we are joined to the work of Jesus. This week, we're going to shift towards the other sacrament that we celebrate in our church, communion. Communion is this opportunity in bread and cup to honor the presence of Christ, to become the body of Christ for the world, and to be sent in mission to join into the work of Jesus. And this week, we're going to focus mostly on the presence of Christ and what it means for us to gather in the presence of Christ and to become the body of Christ. Now, in Corinth, when this lesson was written, this was really a problem. It's a serious problem. Communion was more like a potluck. People would bring food, they would share food, they'd bring stuff from home. And Paul is very upset because essentially at this point, communion in Corinth has become a potluck gone bad. Now, I was looking for potlucks gone bad or bad potlucks or different things, looking for pictures, and I found this picture, and I thought this was too funny not to show. I don't want any of you to get any ideas because I don't like olives, much less in fruit salad, but I thought, you know, I could just picture this happening, and I couldn't stop laughing when I found this little thing. I could just picture somebody eating fruit salad and having all the grapes replaced with olives and watching people eat, and I could not stop laughing. So it has almost nothing to do with this message at all, except that this is about a potluck gone bad, and this is something I found during my search. Now, if I find olives in my fruit salad, I'm coming after you. Because I don't think olives belong in fruit salad. I understand this raccoon's humor in the matter, and I don't even like olives just in and of themselves. Having said that, the real issue in this potluck, if you will, in this meal, is not the food itself, but the lack of love. That the people have come and they've brought their stuff to share, and then they haven't shared. So some people brought a lot of food, they brought really good stuff, they brought really nice drink, and they all gather around that little table over here and they eat and drink a lot. And other people didn't have much, they brought a little bit, they were poor, they had less to bring, and they get left out. And this meal, rather than being a shared meal, is sort of a chance for people to sit in little cliques and do their thing, and maybe if they had a lot of stuff to even show off a little bit. Hey, look at the food we got at our table. Hey, look at the quality of the wine and stuff that we brought to have. And over here, people are sloughing through crackers and water. It was a divisive thing. It was not a unifying thing. And rather than sharing together in a meal, what it was doing was dividing the community. And what Paul said was that when the community eats and is divided in the act of eating, it is not the Lord's Supper that we share anymore. It is something else. We have dishonored the presence of Christ by dishonoring God's presence in the community. And Paul, as he writes this letter and gives these instructions to the Corinthians, is really, really angry. That what is supposed to bring the community together and help it experience being the body of Christ together has become so divisive and so separating that rather than unifying, it is actually tearing the community apart. Rather than honoring the presence of Christ in their midst, they are dishonoring it as if they were spitting in the Lord's face. Now, in communion, what Paul wants us to remember and to understand completely is in communion, the entire point of communion is Jesus. Communion is all about Jesus. When we gather and celebrate communion, it's about the presence of Christ in our midst. And in fact, the traditional word for the bread, the body of Christ, is the host. The bread is called the host because Jesus is the host at this dinner. It is Jesus who offers the table to us and invites us to come to the table. And in inviting us to come to the table, Christ honors us with Christ's presence by hosting us, by inviting us to eat at his banquet, to eat at his meal. In this picture, this is a piece of art from the Walk to Emmaus. Jesus sits down with those two travelers, and as he sits with those two travelers, it is he who is hosting, it is he who breaks the bread, and it is there in the breaking of the bread that they recognize him for who he is. In this other picture, you'll see a group of people communing. That's Martin Luther here, receiving communion from Lucas Cranach's son, a soldier, the man who painted the picture. A group of people representing the followers of Jesus and disciples all around. And at the head of the table, who's that? There he is again, Jesus. Every time we share in communion, Jesus is present. It is the Lord's Supper. It is the Lord's table. It is Christ who is host. And it is we who are guests. It is we who are fed. It is we who are transformed by this meal. Jesus is the point of communion. Now, having said that, it means that the focus then for our tradition is that Christ is truly present. There are certain traditions, sacramental traditions, in which the real presence of Christ is emphasized. Roman Catholic traditions, Episcopal traditions, Lutheran traditions, all honor that in this bread and in this cup, we believe that Jesus actually shows up. That he's physically, he really here in the room. Now we disagree and argue about all kinds of things about how this happens and why it happens and all the metaphysics of how bread becomes a person. But in the belief system that we believe that as we eat this bread and drink this cup, Jesus manifests his presence for us right here in our midst. In, with, and under was the language that Luther used. We don't understand the magic, the metaphysics of it at all. It's a promise. It's a promise from God. It's a promise from Christ that as you eat this bread, this is my body, I'm here for you. As you drink from this cup, this is my blood, I am here for you. And in the honoring of that, in the announcing of that, we make sure that the very center of our worship is this act of honoring the presence of God in our midst. There are traditions who view worship as something that we do, and God is the audience, that God is looking from above and watching. And those traditions, lyrics are different in songs, the liturgy is different in action. And in those traditions, the view is that we worship and that God is the audience and we are the actor, that God watches us from a distance, from above, and we lift our hands in praise to a God who watches from heaven. But the focus of our tradition is that God comes to us in the flesh, incarnate, and that God doesn't watch from elsewhere. God actually comes into our midst and participates in the midst of worship, that we gather around the presence of Christ, and that if you want to know where Jesus is during our worship, it's right here. Now, one of the beautiful things about communion is that it honors then the presence of God, and this is an act that is so central to who we are and what we're about that we make it central in our worship. Now, you all know that from week to week, the music's better, the music's worse. From week to week, the sermons are better, the sermons are worse, right? Let's be honest, some weeks I'm on, some weeks I'm off. Some weeks they're really engaging. Pastor, that was a great sermon. And somebody comes and tells me that, and somebody else slept through it. Because it's not even the same for everybody, is it? Something hits you. But you know what? Every week, whether the sermon hits you or not, whether the music was your thing or not, every week you were invited to come forward and honor that Jesus Christ showed up. You know, every Sunday morning, we all have a choice to make, don't we? We get out of bed, we decide, am I going to worship or not? If you said yes this week, you're here, right? Definitely preaching to the choir on this. But if you said no, you're not here. But Jesus is here either way. For whoever comes, we gather in the name of Christ, in the presence of Christ, and every week, whether we come or go, miss or say, every week, Jesus shows up and is the center of worship. It's the focal point. Our worship is very flat because it's horizontal. Jesus is right here, not someplace else, right here. Now, having said that, we receive this gift. This is important. We have this language, take communion. In fact, it's very hard for me because I was raised in a tradition, not really raised, but taught in a tradition in college where I learned to take communion. Anybody ever said you take communion? People take their first communion, right? How many of you said that? Take your first communion. You don't take communion. You don't take communion. You receive it. It's a gift. And although our language has said we take it, the reality is it comes to us. It comes to us as a gift and we receive it. In our communion tradition, if it's done well, when we come forward, we open our hands and somebody gives it to us. The bread comes to us. This is the body of Christ given for you. Jesus is here and we receive it. In our tradition, we say amen when the bread is received. The word amen means this is true, I believe it, yes, it is so. And so as somebody passes the bread and says the body of Christ given for you, and we say amen, we say it again, in a sense, the body of Christ given for you, and you say amen, yes, this is really Jesus. Then someone pours the cup, gives you the wine, the juice, and as it's received again, somebody says the blood of Christ shed for you. And again, we say amen. Amen means yes, this is true, this is so. So when someone says the blood of Christ given for you, you say yes, Jesus is here. Amen. And in this simple ritual of receiving a gift, the presence of Christ, and announcing our belief that Christ has truly come to us, Christ has come for us, a simple act of honoring the presence of God in our midst and in our lives happens over and over and over again. In the end, this is why we worship. We don't worship to learn something because the sermon had good ideas. I hope it happens from time to time. We don't worship because we like good music and we love to sing and it's fun. I hope we do, and I hope we honor the presence of God as we do it. But ultimately, everything in worship is focused on centering on who Christ is, on what God does, on honoring the gift that it is and receiving it with a sense of faith and faithfulness that strengthens us for the work, joins us to Christ, and sends us forth for that journey that is ours in life and to continue the work of Jesus. The focus of worship is never us. The focus of worship is always a Christ who comes to us. Now that means for us that the closest thing Lutherans have to an altar call is communion. You know, there are traditions where you have altar calls and you come up and you kneel and you give your life to Christ and all sorts of things happen. Those are fine traditions. They're not ours for the most part. That's not what we do. But every week, every time you come to worship, an invitation is extended to you, isn't it? The words of institution are spoken. We announce and remember and celebrate that this bread, this cup, they bring us the presence of Christ. They honor the presence of Christ in our midst. And then an invitation is offered. All is ready. All are welcome. Come and eat. And as we are able, we rise from our seats. We come forward to the front with open hands. A gift is given to us, the body of Christ given for you. And we say, amen. I believe it. This is so. Cup is poured. The blood of Christ shed for you. And again, we receive it and we say, amen. This is so. The invitation to come and receive is not a one-time thing where you give your life to Christ. It is an ongoing daily journey in baptism, and it is a communal weekly thing that we do together as a community as we gather in communion. On this day, may you come forward and receive the presence of Christ gladly, with open hands and open hearts and open minds, that God may pour the Spirit of Christ into you and fill you with Jesus. May your heart resound with an amen that allows you to receive Christ with joy and with exuberance, with excitement. And may you go forth from this place filled with Christ to be Christ for each other and for the world. Amen.